Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning into the Liberty Report. With me today is Daniel McAdams, our co-host. Daniel, good to see you.
How are you this morning, Dr. Paul?
Good. I hope you've recovered from our conference in Houston. That was a very nice turnout.
It was great.
Found out that a lot of people who watch this program also came to our conference.
So exactly.
Yeah, it was very good. That had to do with the drug war, and we had a positive statement that we were sort of winning that war.
Yeah.
But today we're going to talk about a potential war and a war against our foreign policy, and we're not doing so well there. And I want to talk about the rocket that hit in the green zone on Sunday night.
Yeah.
And it probably was aimed at the embassy. It didn't hit the embassy, but these are not that accurate of rockets.
Mm-hmm.
But they did this in the fall. We shouldn't be too surprised that there's somebody that's annoyed by that embassy. And the embassy, of course, is a monster. It is the center for the whole foreign policy that we have for our empire, because it's so huge. It's by far the largest embassy in the whole world.
But
the message was being sent. The rockets are flying. We've been in charge of Iraq for 16 years. We got rid of Saddam Hussein. But I just wonder if anybody, and I think people have done this, they've listed, you know, the very, very bad circumstances living under Saddam Hussein. But if you compare it to the last 16 years, the Iraqis haven't been doing so well.
Yeah.
But we're there, and there's still some people that are unhappy, and there's a lot of talk about what's going to happen between the United States and Iran. I happen to think that the troops aren't going to go marching, but it sure sounds like there's enough antagonism that's going to annoy a lot of people. I just want to read one statement that Trump made in context of all this lack of diplomacy dealing with Iran. And this has to do with Trump sounding off. At times, you know, he sounds like a non-intervention. But this is what stirs people up. And Trump says, if Iran wants to fight, that will be the official end of Iran. Never threaten the United States again. You know, tough talk, which we have grown to know about that. But it doesn't go well for those people who are sick and tired of us. And I think, this embassy, largest in the world, 100 acres, biggest of Vatican, millions and millions of dollars, almost $1 billion they have spent. And guess what? The Iraqis are going to have a vote, I believe, at the end of this week to kick out the American personnel, the military, because they know about the war drums beating, and
mm-hmm.
they don't want to be there.
Yeah.
Maybe some of them even remember the war we instigated, even though we supported Saddam Hussein, when he fought for 8 or 9 years against the Iranians, which was a totally worthless war. A million people died, and so they know not to get involved. So there might be some interesting things that happen here, because it's not getting better. The talk is getting bigger. The troops, we're sending more and more troops over there and more threats. So I think we have to keep an eye on this and just hope that it just dissipates and our troops come home.
Well, the neocons want to manipulate Trump into war. There's no question about that. We see it over and over. And unfortunately, as we've learned from Duma, which I'll mention something later about, it doesn't take much. And this kind of rocket event is a catalyzing thing that they can present to Trump. See, look, they're shooting at our embassy. But the fact of the matter is, it was late Sunday that this Katyusha rocket that had been was manufactured in the Soviet Union at first was fired. No one claimed responsibility. There were no casualties. It was fired from an open field in the general direction of the Green Zone, which is not just the U.S. Embassy, but all the foreign embassies in that area. So it wasn't like a rocket strike on the embassy, but it was certainly, if it was an attack, it wasn't a very good one. The Wall Street Journal just came out with a piece where the pro-Iran militias in Iraq, who we would be blaming, they have condemned the rocket attack and, you know, declined to say that they had any part in it. So they're not in favor of it.
So I guess the people that are agitating for war might have been willing to promote something like this, and we've been known to do this. But we haven't heard from Bolton. But Bolton, if he thought it served the purpose of bringing the conflict, much closer, that he could participate in there. So often, it's the lies that are told and the march to war, and I don't know how anything could be as bad as what we listened to for a year and a half, trying to get the American people to support the war against Iraq, and what a tragedy that was. But here, they're working on it. I don't think we're at that point because we don't have, we're not going to go in there with 120,000 troops and invade. We might start bombing people and more so than we do now. But they're not ready for that. But it's so unknown. Who knows, what incident might be? If this is a false flag, it was a minor one. What happens if it's a big one? And what happens if some Americans get killed? Trump is, as much as he pretends that he's a non-interventionist, he doesn't mind threatening like the one of the very toughest interventionists possible, which means that he tends to lose some credibility. And some of that is okay because our foreign policy loses credibility. If our foreign policy was there to defend America and our liberties, it'd be different, but it does the opposite. So loss of credibility in what we're doing there is probably on the long term a benefit to us.
And let's be honest, Bolton is a liar. He has a history of lying. And right after the rocket strike, there were tweets that Bolton was going into a briefing to help brief Trump on what happened in this area. My guess is he brought a big bag of lies to spread around to bamboozle Trump. Here's Lindsey Graham tweeting out this morning. This gives you a little bit of an indication as to what Bolton is doing behind the scenes. He's not sitting back tweeting. In fact, he hasn't tweeted in a while. It's one of his favorite pastimes. Now, he's running around making the case for war. Here's what Graham tweeted. Just received a briefing from National Security Advisor Bolton about escalating tensions with Iran. It's clear that over the last several weeks, Iran has attacked pipelines and ships of other nations and created threat streams against American interests in Iraq. Absolute lies. The pipelines were attacked by the Houthis, who is not Iran. And who are they attacking? That was a defensive attack against the Saudis, who were fighting a war of aggression against them. The ships that have been mysteriously damaged, we have no idea who's behind it. No one has come out and said that Iran is behind it. So he is peddling a pack of lies to all too willing recipients like Graham and others around D.C.
Well, he must know something about politics because he generally gets on quite frequently to discuss his viewpoints, and he's defended in the mainstream media.
Yeah.
He gets that. But we don't have very many people out there trying to explain this and put it in the proper perspective. But the hawks get the attention because, guess what? There's a military-industrial complex out there, and that's who's really running the show, and they're in cahoots with the media.
In fact, it seems that the president himself understands that. Here's an amazing little minute of him on Fox News, if we can run the video. I hope this is the real Trump.
If I can solve things economically, that's the way I want it.
So you can reassure people you're not looking for some kind of conflict in Iran.
I'm the one that talks about these wars that are 19 years and people are just there. And don't kid yourself, you do have a military-industrial complex. They do like war. In Syria with the caliphate. So I wipe out 100% of the caliphate. That doesn't mean you're not going to have these crazy people going around blowing up stores and blowing up things. These are seriously ill people. I don't want to say, they're wiped out, ISIS. But I wiped out 100% of the caliphate. I say, I want to bring our troops back home. The place went crazy. They want to keep, you have people here in Washington. They never want to leave. I say, you know what I'll do? I'll leave a couple of hundred soldiers behind. But if it was up to them, they'd bring thousands of soldiers in. Someday people will explain it.
Well, this is an example.
You do have a group, and they call it the military-industrial complex. They never want to leave. They always want to fight.
There we go. Yeah. I was wondering, as I watched that the first time, we made a little joke last week wondering if Trump is watching the show. I don't know. We were half joking, but when we watch this, I do wonder. So.
Well, I hope it follows through with policy changes. that's what we have to wait for.
But it's interesting what he said. You know, he said, hey, there is a military-industrial complex. They want war, war, war. That's all they want. I said we want to get out of Syria, and they won't let me. Is he playing us? Is it how he feels?
Well,
does it matter?
It's so routine, because I've seen the comparison of the Bush statements before he became president. You know, no nation building and mind our own business.
Humble foreign policy.
And the lies were told, and then everything was switched around as soon as they got in. And Trump does the same thing. So the total inconsistency is, you know, and we do. We talk about Pompeo and Bolton. These guys are real determined.
Yeah.
And a lot of people try, and we do at times, try to give Trump a little credit and say, you know, I don't think his heart is really in this. I don't think he really wants to have a war. But the perceptions then have to be completely bizarre. If he doesn't want to have a war and doesn't want to have a conflict, why does he have this absolute obsession about the destruction of Iran?
Yeah.
And why in the world would he have the advisors that he have? How could they be advisors?
Yeah.
Unless he wants to play this game where we have the advisors out there to appeal to the, maybe it's all politics, to appeal to the hawks, the people who like hawkishness in the government, and they vote for you for that reason. At the same time, he can come in and bring sanity to or and back these guys off. He sort of does it at times. Well, even like, a week or so ago, he said, maybe I have to rein in Bolton. I like it better when you have a policy, you know what it is, and you stand for it. And even if it's a policy that people don't agree with, the world would be better off. You know, the dictators of the world sort of stood their ground. And maybe that's the reason that a person like Saddam Hussein lasts for a long time until they cross us, you know, and then there's a problem. But it to me is such a shame that that Trump can say these things, and he knows about the military-industrial complex, all about money. But what did he say when we were trying to get him to stop supporting the Saudis in Yemen? Well, that could be bad for business.
Yeah, they buy our
stuff. It could be bad for business. The two are totally inconsistent.
Yeah.
And all we can do is encourage people and encourage ourselves to look at it as objectively as possible and saying, look, one way or the other, why don't you practice what you say? If you lean toward worrying about the military-industrial complex and you sort of like non-intervention and you don't want to have a war, well, have policies that way. Don't say that we have to destroy a country. And the policy toward Iran has to be the most bizarre thing, even for an arch enemy. Is totally bizarre and so unnecessary. And all of the things that they have gone through, the systematic steps that he's taken in the past year, are just makes no sense whatsoever. And we claim he's not planning the war. He doesn't want the war. But boy, I'll tell you what, he's risking a war.
It's hot and cold. And this makes it even weirder. Here's what he said on May 9th about Iran. So what they should be doing is calling me up. We can make a deal, a fair deal. But you know, we asked a question back about a year ago when supposedly Assad gassed his own people in Douma. And we said, why would he do that at that time? He was just on the verge of defeating the jihadists, of the radicals. He was just on the verge of taking it back. Why would he risk the entire world turning against him just at that moment? And you kind of have to ask the same question about Iran in this case. And I think this is the weakness in the neocons' manufactured case for war. Why would Iran, at this point, keep doing these little pinprick provocations? Why would they blow up a couple pipelines maybe, dent a few ships here and there, fire a totally useless rocket into an empty field? What is in it for them? Why would they want to incur destruction of their country for this, for nothing, you know?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It makes no sense whatsoever. And we see it and we understand it and we try our best to explain this. But this is inconsistent But do you think that the media would sort it out? You know, where they're each every single night, all the stations do the same thing on one on the foreign policy. There's not a whole lot of difference between conservatives and liberals. You know, they're all hawkish, especially the leadership. They're all very, very hawkish, and yet we get no help whatsoever to show why this makes no sense. But the one thing is, when you settle down and start looking at it, more and more people are starting to realize it doesn't make much sense. More and more people around the world are starting to think that. And as we weaken financially and our dollar weakens and this continues, all these failures continue, it'll catch up with it. And no matter what they say and do, and no matter how much the media ignore explaining this, the people will eventually know. It to me was so discouraging in the 60s for the people to take so long to say, you know, this is really stupid. And how many people had to die to do it. I just wish that we could contribute enough to this so people would make the decision of the disastrous effects of these contrived wars before they start.
Yeah.
You know, that's the whole thing. But the fact that whether they're a Republican or a Democrat running for president, they all say the same thing. They always promise a better foreign policy.
Yeah.
And I sort of work on the assumption, and you can make the case for the person that talks more about peace than war tends to win the election.
Yeah.
You know, and Trump was an example of that. And
yeah.
Bush did his, he knew what to say. And then they get in and they say, how do I become one of the great presidents of the world? We have to have a war, you know, and then they go and find one.
That's right. You know, you talk about the media. Here's the media in a nutshell. And I don't have the exact quote, but I saw a headline that Drudge had up about Trump and the whole Iran thing. Here's the essence of what the media headline was about Trump and Iran. After threats, Trump risks looking weak if he does nothing. You know, this is what the media does. He risks looking weak. You better get out there. You've been threatening. You better do something. So, but anyway, I want to follow up on what Dr. Paul opened with, which is our conference on Saturday. It was a great success. The only problem we had was that every seat was full. There was nowhere to sit. You know, my wife walked in to look around and she had to stand. So that's a good problem to have, to be honest. It's a good problem to have. It was a great gathering, a great group of people, great speakers. And so many, Dr. Paul did this about a year ago before a conference. He said, how many of you watched the Liberty Report? There was a nice smattering of hands. He did it yesterday and literally the entire audience raised their hands. So thank you. Thank our viewers. Some people came up to me and said, I watch it every day. That is fantastic, and we appreciate you so much. Please, if you're just watching it now and you don't subscribe, please do subscribe to the channel. Get your friends and others to subscribe. We're at well over 180,000 subscribers now. We want to go up, 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 because we've got the real news here, Dr. Paul, not the fake news.
Very good. And you know, there's been restrictions placed on libertarian and some conservative organizations by social media, and that's a challenge to get the message spread around. But the individuals who watch the program, who came to the conference, just think everybody has a mailing list. Everybody has an email list. So I think it's easy to spread that so the numbers can be even much greater than we have. But we have to get people to help out. And the message, it used to be one-on-one. There's still a lot of that. And when you compare what we do to the massive media, you know, it is a one-on-one deal. But we like to increase that, and that would be to spread this message. Each individual has the responsibility to do that if they think the message is worthwhile. But there is no doubt in my mind from having attended our conference, and it was not on foreign policy, but it involves foreign policy because it dealt with the war on drugs, and it involves the CIA, and it involves much of our border. So, but it was a domestic issue as well. But the wars, whether they're domestic, undermining our civil liberties, or whether it's the consequence of the tragedy of 9/11, where we have to punish the enemy, and it ends up the American people lose their liberties, and they get taxed for more things and more endless nonsensical wars that had nothing to do with 9/11, that persists. That means the clarity of what non-intervention is all about is so crucial. It has to show that you can apply this principle to personal liberty. It's your life. Run your life as you see you choose. Just follow the non-aggression principle. Don't hurt people. And if you want to do this in economics, fine. People should have a right right to their money. That's why you get rid of the income tax, to spend your money the way you want. And if a business doesn't provide the services that you want, you lose your business. And it should not be run by the government and the special interests. But we apply that to foreign policy, too, that if you have friendship and trade and talk to people, far from a perfect world, but believe me, what we have now is much further from a perfect world, and isn't even moving toward a perfect world until we have more principles of getting along with people at the international level, just as we do with our next door neighbor. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report and the support that you have given us. And please come back soon to the Liberty Report.